again, and I'll ask some questions. But anyway, I want to talk to you about Paul's early ministry again. Now, last week, if you wasn't here, just for a little bit, we talked about Paul going to the Jew first in his Acts ministry. And there is a reason for that. And before we go to Acts, I'll tell you what, turn to Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, why did Paul go to the Jew first? And if God, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, look in Romans chapter 11. Now notice in verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. So his office that God gave him was to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, why would he go to the Jew? If he's the apostle to the Gentiles, why would he not go to the Gentiles right off the bat? Well, look in, back in chapter 11 now, notice verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Then God foreknew some Israelites, like he foreknew Paul. Look over in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, notice what he says in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? For do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice when, come on down into verse 14, and he profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals, my own nation. Look in verse 15. But when it pleased God, now watch it, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, he said he separated me from my mother's womb. Was Paul foreknew by God? Paul knew, the Lord knew. He foreknew Paul, and he knew what would happen when he appeared to him. All I'm trying to get you to understand is there were some Israelites that God foreknew would believe the gospel of Christ and be saved. So somebody had to go to those Israelites. So God saves Paul and calls Paul to reveal his Son. Now, Jesus Christ was already revealed as the King of Israel. In fact, notice in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, notice what he says. In John chapter 1, verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. God gave John a revelation, and John saw that revelation, and that revelation was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he made him manifest to Israel. But yet Paul said, God separated me from my mother's womb that I might preach him, reveal his Son. So there's got to be two revealings, is what I'm trying to get you to see. Now notice this thing about Paul. Paul goes into the synagogue. Now turn to Acts 13. In Acts 13, so he gets saved. He said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So he goes into Arabia. Then he returns back into Damascus. After he returns to Damascus, he goes up to Jerusalem and visits with Peter for 15 days. And then after that, he's going to start his ministry. Now he goes into the synagogue. Notice in verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. To who was the word of the salvation sent? To those people that's in the synagogues, right? Are they Jews in there? Yes. How about Gentiles? There are Gentiles in there? Yes, they are. In them synagogues, there was Gentiles in there. Now notice, come down to verse, and he goes on and preaching to them. Verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. So he goes in there. All I'm trying to get you to see is he's going to the Jew first. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But there's an order in the early ministry. It's to who the first? To the Jew first. Why? God had foreknew some Jews and Jewish proselytes or Gentiles that had blessed the seed of Abraham. They were allied with Israel. They were part of them, and they were in the synagogues, so somebody had to go into the synagogues and preach the gospel of Christ to them, that Christ had died for their sins, and that they could be justified without keeping the law. Notice back in Acts again, Acts 13, notice in Acts 14, Acts 13 again. In verse 37. But he whom God raised again, talking about Christ, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Not remission of sins, but forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Then Paul's preaching to them how they can get justified, how that they can have forgiveness of sins. And folks, the only way you can have forgiveness of sins is by trusting Christ as your Savior, believing that He died for all your sins. You can't be justified by the law. You say, well, I keep the commandments. You can't keep the commandments. These people thought they could. They thought that they were fulfilling the righteousness of the law. That was Israel's big problem. Israel's problem is the same problem that men have today. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, notice what he said. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. How many people today do you know has a zeal of God, but it is not according to knowledge? I know people today that think that they can be good enough and live a life without sin, God will accept them. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, what is the righteousness of God? Jesus Christ took your unrighteousness. Jesus Christ was the righteous Son of Almighty God. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He never committed sin. He never had an evil thought. He never said nothing that was wrong. He walked according to God's law, and he never broke a single one of them. He was the perfect Son of Almighty God. And you know something else? He didn't have the nature that you got in you. He had God's nature, and he had God's blood flowing through him. He was sinless Son of Almighty God, and he went to a cross and became unrighteous for you. He took your unrighteousness. He took your nature, and he became what you are, that you could become what he is. Righteousness, godly. That's great, isn't it? Look on. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, I want you to see, why was he going in here? There are some Jews in them synagogues, Israelites that God had foreknew, Gentiles in there that was going to hear the gospel of Christ, hear that Christ died for their sins, and they was going to believe that. And God knew they'd believe that, and so he sent Paul in there. Jesus Christ could not go in there for them people. Jesus Christ could not suffer for them people. He'd already suffered on the cross for them people for their sins. How's the message going to get out? How he saves Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, and he gives him, makes him the apostle to the Gentiles, and gives him a message, and that message is that he died for men's sins, and he went to that cross and became sin, and God will save anybody, anywhere, anytime, if they'll trust in what his Son did. That's a great message. So he goes in there and he preaches to these people. There are those that are in there, so they believe. So when they believe, are they a part of the body of Christ? Well, let's see. Come over with me. Let's try something. Look in, let's go to 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy, chapter 1. In 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't come to save good people. He came to save sinners. Good people usually end up in hell. So why? Because they don't never see themselves as a sinner. They don't ever see themselves in need of a Savior. Why does he need to die for me? I've never done nothing wrong. Well, I live a good life. I live better than the people to go to that church. That kind of thing. Well, how you live got to do with anything? You're not a sinner because of the things you do. You do the things that you do because of what you are. You're a sinner if you believe in God's air. Why? You're born in sin. You have a sinful nature. You might keep it under control more than other people, but you still got that sinful nature. I mean, most people don't go out and steal, and they don't go out and kill and all that thing. Some do. Those that don't, they keep their old nature under control, but you got the same old nature. Now, come on, you tell them. I'm telling you the truth. That's why the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We do things that's good deeds to other people and to humanity, and they say that's good. But when you compare your life to Jesus Christ, what you think is good, you find out it's not good. It don't meet up to him. He set the bar. How are you going to live a life like he lived? He didn't have your nature. Your own nature is why you do what you do. It produces sins. Jesus Christ became sin, singular. That he became that old nature that you are. And he died for your sins, the fruit of that old nature. Religion wants to make you pluck the apples off of your sin tree. They don't like to see the fruits of that sin. So they say, you know, you live this way, do that way, do this way. Get them old sinful apples off and nobody will know that you're a sinner. I got new. And so they're constantly plucking and running to the altar and repenting and changing and they just worrying and all this fretting and won't sneeze without a handkerchief, don't walk on the grass, kick the cat, don't do none of these things. All just worry, 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 worry. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ became that nature and he died for those sins. And I'm not in that now. I'm in Christ now. My old man was crucified with him. And I died. I'm dead. I am crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might be alive unto God. You see, the law put me to death in that day and at Calvary on AD 33. The law said I'm a sinner. So Jesus Christ took my place. The law put him to death. And when the law put him to death, the law put me to death. And when they buried him, I was buried, my old man. And when he had come up out of the grave the third day, I came up with him, a new man in Christ, and I'm alive unto God today. I am dead, but yet alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's better than a cat scream. I don't worry about whether or not I'm living to somebody's standards. I just want to try to honor the Lord. Well, let's look in 1 Timothy. This is verse 15. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, what's that next word? First, Paul's first. Now, if Paul, if he's first, does that mean he's second? How about Is he the 12th? You know, religion says Paul was really one that was God's choice to take Judas's place, and the disciples was just, they was up there and they chose Matthias, and it shouldn't have been the Lord chose Paul to be take Judas's place. You know, some people are dumber than dirt when it comes to this Bible. And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. But honest to goodness, could you read your Bible and come up with that nonsense? You couldn't be further from the truth. And yet the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. God honored Matthias. He filled him with the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, they're out there preaching and they're out there doing the work of the Lord. Just file that in file 13 when you hear somebody say that. He said, "For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering." For a what? A pattern. What do you need a pattern for, Paul? What is a pattern? You ladies make dress, do you? Not anymore. They're shaking their head, no. When you used to do or make dresses, did you use a pattern? Do y'all know what a pattern is? Has anybody ever used a pattern for anything in here? Now look what he said. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him the life everlasting. Paul's the pattern of salvation. Paul's on the road to Damascus. Paul's not keeping the law on the road to Damascus. Paul's doing some bad things on the road to Damascus. He's taking Christians and he's killing them. He's stoning them. He's hauling them away into prison. He's making havoc of that church, Jerusalem church back there in Acts. He is tearing up Jack back there, and God just stops him right there. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ preaches to him the gospel of Christ. In fact, turn to Acts, look in Acts chapter 26. And notice in Acts chapter 26. In verse 14 or 13, he says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." And finally, in verse 15, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Verse 16, "But arise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God." Now this is the Lord talking to him. "That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Did Jesus Christ, is obvious from verse 18, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Do you not honestly think the Lord wouldn't have told him how they got forgiveness of sins? Did Paul know about forgiveness of sins? In Acts 13, he tells them about how that they can receive the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe. Believe what? The gospel of Christ, folks, that Christ died for your sins and was buried and that God raised him from the dead. That's why I don't believe Paul was ever baptized. When Ananias said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins." The reason Paul was saying, he already knew he had forgiveness of sins. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized with the Spirit, by the Spirit on the road to Damascus. 3 days later, he's baptized with the Spirit when Ananias comes to him. Paul already had the message of what that cross had done. So there's people in there. So Paul's the first. So who does he go to? Well, he goes to Galatians. He goes to the Corinthians. They're joined hard to the synagogue. Spends 18 months there, Corinthians. He writes in the book of Acts and his other man, he writes the book of Romans in there. Thessalonians is in there. In them synagogues. The body there. These people, there's a church there that sent letters to these group here in Antioch telling them, abstain from things strangled and blood and they're set up alike in ordinances, epistle that they're to keep. Paul carries it to them and they read it. Turn to Ephesians now. Why did he do? And why? When you go into Ephesians, stop off in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in this time period here, this would be the Acts. Acts 9, when Paul is saved. Acts 28 over here. And I know that always raises people's eyebrows when you say anything about Acts chapter 28. In Acts 13, there are a pivotal point here. Acts 13, who did he say that the salvation was sent to? Them people in the synagogues, right? Some believed, started churches. Here they are. He tells the Roman church, there's a body. Do you know about the body of Christ? How about the Corinthians? There's a body, is it not? By one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. So the body of Christ is in here. The Galatians are baptized into Christ, the body of Christ. All this, these are all the body of Christ in here. And so there it is. Look in Romans chapter 9. And then during this time period, Paul does signs. Who's the signs for? Look with me before you go to chapter 9, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. In Romans chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. He didn't say that they wanted one. He said they required one. Look in Romans. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about unto Illyricum have I fully preached the gospel of Christ. Did he preach the gospel of Christ through mighty signs? Who requires a sign? Who's he preaching to? Jews and Jewish proselytes that's in this Acts period. Verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. Not where Christ was named. Did he go into Peter's territory? Huh?
He'd be going where Christ was named, wouldn't he? Did he go into the where the 12 was at and preach the gospel of Christ in there? No! Almost 17 years after Paul saved, he sees Peter and James one time. And not one time and after 17 years, he goes up and communicates unto them the gospel that he'd been preaching. They didn't know it. You can't study this Bible without seeing that the Apostle Paul's ministry is different from the 12. You've got to rightly divide this Bible. Look what he said. He said, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Look back with me in 1 Corinthians. He's doing signs. I tell you what, stop off and look in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice what he says there in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So the Corinthians, he did signs unto them. He told the Romans that wherever he preached, through mighty signs, the Jews require signs. He's going after his people that he could wish himself a curse for. He's going after because it was his heart's desire to see Israel saved and to have what he's going. And so he goes into them synagogues and preaches the gospel of Christ, and there are Gentiles in there that get saved. And they're Jews, Israelites. And the indication is he would keep a going. But God had to lock him up to keep him out of there. Look with me. Turn to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1. And so doing these signs, Paul speaks in tongues. He does miracles. He heals. And people say, well, you follow Paul. Paul spoke in tongues. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, said, I speak with tongues more than ye all. He healed people. We believe in healing. Listen to me, we don't follow Paul's life. We follow his writings. We follow the doctrine that God gave to him, to you. And there ain't no apostles in here that has the signs and the power of the apostle. And there is no latter-day saints and with power and all that, and the last-day prophets and all that. We have pastors, teachers, and evangelists today for the body of Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and notice in verse there, let's read verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who what? First trusted in Christ, right? Well, you're the first, and so would I be correct in putting the first over here? I mean, Paul's the first to get it from the Lord. Would these not be the first that trust in the Lord? Is there anybody in doubt about this? Alright. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Was the Ephesians a part of the first group? just nod your head. Then I come over here and I put the Ephesians. Did Paul know these Ephesians? No, he didn't. He said in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." He heard about their salvation. So you have the Ephesians over here, and I don't have time to go through them all, but then you have the Philippians over here. Then you have the Colossians over here. And these Ephesians and Colossians and everything, they're a unique group. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, he said in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past." Now, time past would be Acts chapter 19. That's where they was worshiping Diana. And Paul went in there and stirred up, and they got all stirred up and worked up against Paul. And so he said, "Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision," that would be Israel in the flesh, made by hand, "that at that time," Acts 19, "ye were without Christ." Why? "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." In Acts 19, did these Ephesians have hope? Come on, folks, did they? Why did they not have no hope? They was not allied with Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. Why was they that way? Paul wasn't going to them. He said, "To you in the synagogue was this salvation sent." And in Acts 19, he wasn't going to. Now, if they would have came to him, he would have gave them the gospel of Christ, but Paul was going into the synagogue. Paul was doing things to get Israel saved. Hang on to Ephesians. We're coming right back. My time is gone, but I want you to see something. I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians. Now, this we're going back to Ephesians. Don't lose sight. And hang with me in Acts. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And by the way, in Acts 16, Paul takes a young man in there named Timothy and circumcised him because of the Jews. And Paul said to the Galatians, "Circumcision availeth nothing." But yet he took a man and circumcised that man for the Jews. Paul shaved his head and did a vow and went into the temple and was purifying himself 7 days. Paul did a lot of things that you don't do today, but he did it to reach them Israelites. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said in verse 14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Come down to verse 16. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Then that dispensation of the gospel was given to the Apostle Paul. He calls the gospel of Christ. And it starts, let's just say, Acts 9 until the rapture of the church. That's the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. And he calls it my gospel 3 times in your Bible. And it has to do with Christ dies for your sins, was buried, and God raised him for your justification. He said, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Come down to verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. If they're under the law, he went under the law. And he obeyed and done that he might gain them. Don't you understand? Paul is, he's obsessed with winning his people to the Lord.
Now look in Acts, hang on to Ephesians now, and look in Acts 22. There's something that takes place. In Acts chapter 22, in Acts chapter 22, now watch it. Acts 13, the salvation is sent to those people in the synagogue. Acts 22. He's given his account again. Verse 11, when I could not see for the glory of that light, comes down one Ananias, devout man according to law, comes in, said, receive the sight, he hears it. And verse 17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, now watch it, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Another sending. He said in Acts 13, to you is the word of this salvation sent. After Acts 18, guarantee you that took place in 18. After he done wrote to these people, God sends him somewhere else. Look again. He was in a trance. He said, depart, verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. Why did they do that when he said, God sent me to Gentiles? Those Gentiles that he was referring to was the ones that had cursed the seed of Abraham. They was not in the covenants of promise, and they said, this man is crazy. God said he'd bless those that bless us. He's going to say that God's now going to bless the people that curse us. And they threw dust in the air, and God locked Paul up, and he became a prisoner. Turn to Acts 28 now. We're going to get through Ephesians. I'm working there. Not even 25 to 12. You're going to miss that church crowd. I'll let you out of here in time to see you get there. But look what he said. He calls them together. He's in prison. So in Acts 22, you have him saying, God sent me to somewhere else. You know who he's saying? These people like that. Like to the Ephesians. He said in verse 27, he calls them, he tells them about everything, and they don't believe him. He said,
for the heart of this people wax gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. In Acts 28, it goes to these. Now back in Ephesians. Three sending. 13, 22, he's locked up for saying it. 28, he says it's gone. Israel's three strikes, they're gone. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known, and is not known today by the majority of people sitting in churches, are not made known, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is it? That the Gentiles, these Ephesians that he's writing to, these that are not allied with Israel, these that cursed Israel, these that would not have nothing to do with Israel, these Gentiles that didn't even know the law existed. He said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Well, now, is the body already there? Yes. And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now look in chapter 2, and I'm going to close. Verse 12 again, that at that time you were without Christ, Acts 19, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, and hath made both. Now, the word both, does that imply two? Always has to me. Mama used to say, both of y'all get in here. She wasn't saying just now. Sometimes it'd be me and Joan fussing, Mama. Both of y'all get in here. Both means two. For he is our peace who hath made both what? One. And hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, and that was the law, and that epistle, and them ordinances that would have divided the body, like baptism today divides the body, like church ordinances today divide the body. He said that there be peace and have broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make him in himself of twain, there's the twain, one new man, so making peace. You know when this body of Christ became the new man? When God opened the Gentiles, the Ephesians, and brought them into that body. It's always just been one body. But God broke it down. He won, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And you can go on and on. There's one body, So Paul did the signs to reach Israel, to get them in the body. When they was in there, God turned it over. And folks, today, God will save all men the same way by the gospel and the dispensation of the grace of God. And this is where they're going to kill me at. As far as I'm concerned, started in Acts 28. The gospel back here, the dispensation of the gospel in Acts 9. God going to all men, no distinction between them, no Israel to bless. All men, no matter what their race, creed, color, where they come from, what they were doing, can be saved today in the dispensation of grace. Thank God for His grace. You was never in the covenants of promise, but God saved you anyway. Praise the Lord for His grace. All right, you can go.